First Thessalonians chapter 3. First Thessalonians chapter 3. We're about to end a year, and we're going to go into a new year. And I'm not trying to convince you tonight that you need to have several goals that you need to set, or that you need to have all of these different things that you have made resolution to do. But I do want you to notice in this passage, the Bible says in verse 9, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." If you look there in verse 12, "and the Lord make you to increase." You know, there's probably some things that we could increase in 2022. I'm sure we're going to have another missions conference at Sweet Springs Baptist Church, and maybe you could increase what you give to the cause of missions. I know tonight we had prayer time. How many of you think we probably could increase the amount of time that we prayed in 2022? Don't you think that would be good? How many of you think we could probably try to increase our witness, the number of people that we speak to about the Lord Jesus Christ? If we believe that Jesus is coming back, shouldn't we be telling more people about him now than ever? I believe you ought to increase your attendance to church. I think that's biblical. Hebrews 10:25 says, "And as that day approached that you and I are to assemble, even so much the more." And there are a lot of things that we could increase, but would you notice what he says to increase here? Look in your Bible. "That to make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men." In other words, he's saying this. He's saying, if there is a goal, if there is something that you would like to add or something that's needed in your life, it would be that you would increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. Now, we know love is powerful. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, the Bible speaks about that love is as strong as death. And I think tonight, I know I'm preaching in an independent Baptist church, but I think that love ought to be preached in independent Baptist churches. I don't think that it ought to always just be the hard, cold doctrine. And you know me. You know what we believe about morality and what we believe about dress and music. I think you ought to hold the line right there, but I think you ought to love people as well. In fact, I think one of the things that's happened in our country is we've had a lot of people that are so heavy on the truth but so light on love that it seems like what they're doing is really out to hurt other people. And that's not the case. That's not the case. The principles that God gives in the Bible are not meant to hurt. They're meant to instruct and to guide you, but you also need somebody to love you along the way. And here he says you to increase and abound in love. So that means all of us. So how many of you think all of us could abound in love and increase there? You think you could do that? So you think that means that message is for you tonight? Amen. That's right. That message is for you tonight. That's for me tonight. That's one of my goals for 2022. I want to love more than I did this past year. And probably because I have been the beneficiary of it. I still have yet to get over some of the things that happened that people showed love to our family during the homegoing of my dad. I can't believe I've got another one of our members here tonight. Two of them, in fact, from Greenville. A bus that pulled up outside, drove 10 hours, turned around, went to the graveyard, got back in the bus and drove another 10 hours back home. That helps the heart. That helps the soul. And what I'm saying is I think that's something that is an achievable goal. It is a principle in the Bible. Look at it again. Increase and abound in love one toward another. Boy, if that is a principle that you find over and over and over again in the Bible, that we are to love one another. It is repeated in the book of John. It is repeated in Peter. The Bible says it's a commandment. Now, my mother's here tonight, and I don't know how many times I've told this story, but my brother and I, we'd get into a fight because he would say something he shouldn't say or do something he wasn't supposed to do. And then after we get into a fight, Mom would wade into the middle of it, you know, and then she'd say, "Okay, now, you tell him you're sorry." So I'd, "Okay, I'm sorry. You tell him you're sorry, I'm sorry. All right, hug his neck." You remember that? Hug his neck. And then she'd say, tell him you love him. I love you. And look, it's a commandment. That's a duty. Whether you believe that we ought to love one another or not, or whether you think that love is something that needs to increase at Sweet Springs Baptist Church or in your own home, it's a principle in the Bible. The Bible says it's a commandment that he's given to us. It's the message that was given from the beginning. It's not a brand new message. This is a message given from the beginning and then repeated. In fact, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says the only debt that you and I are to owe is that we love one another. That's what the Bible says. I'm not supposed to be in debt to other men except in the area of love, that I am a debtor. And listen, to you, I can see somebody saying, well, I don't know a debt of love. Listen, we're all the product of God loving us and sending his own begotten son. If it weren't for his love, none of us would be seated here tonight anyway. All right. So we are debtors in that regard. The Bible says it's a mark of our identity. Did you know that? The Bible says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. I think it is so wrong that we have let other denominations take words like the Holy Ghost and we act as if we're afraid of that as independent Baptists. Holy Ghost is a good Bible word. Nothing wrong with that word, and neither is loving people. And what I'm saying is this, I think that is something that the Bible says that it's a mark of our identity. I want our church to be a loving church. I want our church in Greenville, South Carolina, with all the heritage and history we have, all the property and ministries we have. I don't want people to leave impressed with our past and impressed with our buildings and our ministries. I'd like them to leave saying, boy, those people are some loving people there at that church right there. I want them to say that. I think that that's something that we ought to try to achieve and we ought to do. The Bible says we ought to do that. We ought to love one another. And here, if you look what the Bible says, it says that the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. How many of you think we probably need God's help to increase and abound in love? Amen. It doesn't matter how big the congregation is. It doesn't matter how large the family is. It doesn't matter how long you've been married. There comes a time when you need help from God. Look what the Bible goes on to say. He says, and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Look at chapter 4. Look down at verse number 9, I believe is what I want. The Bible says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. In other words, God is trying to teach his people to love one another. He's saying, look, it's not necessary for me to bring that to your attention again. God is the one teaching you that you ought to love one another. Now, that makes sense to me. As a parent, I have four children, and I want them to love each other. And a lot of times, I'm not really concerned about why they don't. I'm not interested in hearing about who started it and how it got going. I just want them to quit fighting and love one another. I'll never forget, as long as I live, I hope I don't forget it. We were headed to New York, and we had pushed my dad to the limit. And we were in an LTD Ford, and we had all kind of little games we were playing. You know, Brent and I back and forth, he's on my side, he's touching me. And you know, you hear that all the way from Decatur, Alabama, that gets old after a little while. And I'm telling you, my dad took and whipped that car over on the side of the road, walked around, opened the door, and told us both to get out of the car. You remember that? And he wore us out right there on the side of the interstate. Yep. Wore us out.
That's good preaching.
And you know what? I don't think he didn't sit down and say, okay, who started? We didn't have a court. He didn't say, okay, Carolyn, get out of the car. We're going to get this straightened out. Who's the one that's at the bottom of all the problems? He just wanted the problems to stop. Don't you think God in heaven would love to see the problems that some churches have in between one another? Don't you think he'd like to see them just stopped? People that won't be able to talk to one another, that aren't kind to one another, that talk about one another outside of the church building in ways they shouldn't. Don't you think a God in heaven that's omniscient and omnipresent and hears everything, don't you think sometimes he just says, hey, stop that. Quit doing that. And you know, God has a way of bringing you to a place that you find out you do need more people than just yourself and your four or five friends. There comes times in life that you need as many people as you can find to be a help to you. So here he says, to increase and abound in love one to another. So how do you do that? How do you do that? You just preach it? Okay, let's love one another. You've been commanded to love one another. How do you do that? There are people that write books. There's a book called The Five Love Languages. How many of you have read that book? You ever read that book? Over half the congregation have read that book. The Five Love Languages. And whether it's words of affirmation. Well, this is how I increase in love. This is how I put love to the bank, if you would. Words of affirmation, or maybe it's service, or maybe it's kind words, or maybe it's giving of a gift, or physical touch, or quality time, or whatever it is. There's these languages that are spoken to somebody else to try to increase love and to try to somehow make it abound. The principle in that book basically is this. You need to be putting love into the bank of somebody else's heart so when you do have an offense that there's something to draw on that lets you stay close together as you move through life together. Good. And I think it's a good principle. Now, but how do I increase in love? On a practical note, and I've got just about 20 minutes. I want you to go, if you would, to Genesis 25. I'm not going to go through all of them. There are so many instances of somebody loving somebody in the Bible. All right, we know that we can learn from the Old Testament, that it is our example. All right, it's something I can learn from. So I want to start there. Genesis chapter 25, if you look down there at verse number 28, the Bible says, And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Isaac, the Bible says, loved Esau because, you see that? Because he did eat of his venison. Now that doesn't mean if you take somebody some venison that they're going to love you. But if you bring me a bag of that deer jerky, I'm going to think a lot more highly of you than I normally would. I can tell you that right now. But here's the point. There is a favor being done here. Isaac likes venison. That's something he enjoys. In fact, later on, that's what he tells his son to go out and get for him. He has a taste for it. He enjoys it. He likes it. And so what Esau does is he provides that for him. And if you want to increase and abound in love, one of the things I would say to you is, why don't you try to increase your favor toward the people in your local congregation and toward one another in your own home? You say, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean by that. Do something for them that they enjoy. Do something for. How many of you like $100 bills? There's some people didn't raise their hand. I can't believe that. $100 bill. The Bible says that wealth maketh many friends. All right, if you want friends, you got to show yourself friendly. You go around passing out $100 bills, you're going to have at least a group of people that will follow you around. The point is, being mindful that you know what somebody enjoys. Do you know what your pastor enjoys? Do you? Do you know what his wife enjoys? Do you know what Brother Shock and his wife, do you know what they enjoy? How about Brother McCarty? I started to say Brother Kelton. I know. How many think Brother Kelton likes to coon hunt? Anything Brother Kelton likes coon hunt? Well, then what can you do to show him favor? I'm going to do something for you that you like, that you enjoy, because I want you to know I value you. That's really what I'm trying to say. To increase and abound in love is saying that I value you. That I place a higher value on you than I do in the world. And I believe that the dearest friends you ought to have should not be in the world. They ought to be inside the local church. Yep. And I believe that there ought to be a friendship inside of your family. There ought to be something that you do for people in your family that increases and abound in love by giving them what they enjoy. What they enjoy. Something that shows favor. So do you think you could practice that? Could you show somebody some favor in the church? Not if you don't know what they enjoy. But you could try to find that out. And if you would do that, then that shows that you have a vested interest in them. That they're not just a number. They're not just somebody that sits on a pew. The church is not something that just gathers on Sunday. We are part of the body of Christ. The church is a body of believers. So take and show favor to someone. I cannot tell you how many times somebody has done something like that to me. I have made it easy. I like coffee and I like ice cream. And I get cards to Brewster's and Starbucks on a regular basis. It's easy. Showing somebody favor. But now, I'm not pointing that out to you to give you a point. I'm asking you, can you do that? Can you increase the favor that you show one to another? Leaving something on the pew. Putting something in their hand. Then the second thing, if you look there in Genesis 29, if you're going to increase and abound in love, sitting in a corner and saying, I love you, is not going to work that way. It's not going to bring that about. It's going to take an effort on your part. Maybe I ought to say this. A wedding ceremony is not what makes the marriage. It takes work to make a marriage. Not the ceremony. It takes work to make a marriage. Genesis chapter 29. Here's another one. I'm sure you know this one. Very simply, verse number 18. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. I'll serve because I love her. Love will cause me to serve. Now, I'm going to tell you, I think that is something that I could increase your service. You could increase your service at the local church. If you love the church, then you'll try to find some way you could help the local church. You'll find something to do. If it's picking up paper outside in the foyer, or if it's doing like I saw a young man tonight that had an umbrella, walking around, bringing people into the church, I think that's serving. You know, a lot of people, they think that their point of service ought to be a position somewhere, maybe behind a pulpit or in a Sunday school classroom. I say just find something that you can do for God and do it not for your benefit, but for the benefit of the church. But you can do that for one another. You can serve one another, you know. And I'm not trying to build up my brother, but they're about to move. They did know that. Just relocating. No. How many of you in here have ever moved? How many of you have moved more than 3 or 4 times? I see your hand. How many of you hate moving? Boxes and tape and, oh my goodness. You know, to serve is taking your time and going over. Brent, would you mind if you had 15 or 20 people helping you move stuff? Would that be good? You think that your children would appreciate that? They're saying, yep, that's right. That's called service. Now, that's not some spiritual glow that you get by standing behind a pulpit and singing or doing something. What that is that's coming alongside somebody and saying, I value you enough that I'm going to do this for you. We did it here. We went and took a group of teens and went out and raked leaves and tried to take and just do a little tending around to some houses and homes, not so we would make money. We didn't do it and say, okay, we're going to pay for a trip going to some youth camp. We went out to try to be a help, to serve somebody else. And what I'm saying is that says I value you, but it takes time to serve somebody. Right. Increase and abound in love. It takes time to do that. It takes time to spend moments in helping somebody at their home with their children. Listen, these young couples, when they have young children, it would be a blessing to offer to have and just say, hey, listen, why don't we just sit your children for you and you guys go out? You say, I don't want to do that. It would increase their love for you, I can tell you that. Yeah, that's called service. And that's exactly, this man is going to serve 7 years for love. 7 years. That is a lot. Anybody that says, well, it's been so long, preacher, I just don't know, I can't hold out. I just don't think, oh man, we've been talking now for 3 months and I'm ready to get married. This was 7 years. 7 years. Now, y'all don't look around, you're going to make me think I'm preaching to somebody. I'm not in the loop anymore. So But you can increase your service will help to increase the love between you and somebody else. That goes with your own family. I could really meddle there and say it'd be good for a man to wash the dishes or wash the clothes. But I won't do that because that's a different message. So Genesis 34. And what I'm saying, right? Practical application of a truth to take an increase and abound in love. That means it's coming over the sides of the cup, spilling out over onto the table. There's so much of it in there. Genesis 34. This is really novel. Genesis 34, this is a wicked man. Verse 3, the Bible says, in his soul, Genesis 34, 3, and his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spake kindly unto the damsel. He spake kindly. You know, the Bible says that we're to put away malice. We're to put away evil speaking and bitterness. We're supposed to be kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And all I would say is this, speaking kindly to someone is something that will help you to increase the love that you have at Sweet Springs Baptist Church. And that does not mean that you sit in your seat waiting for somebody to come and speak kindly to you. That means that when you have a guest to come into this place, you go find them and speak kindly to them. Our nursery is back here. You tell us, we have Sunday school classes here. This is our pastor. Can we introduce? I have people do that on a regular basis there at Tabernacle. They help me so much. Pastor, this is so-and-so. They are here today from New York. Give me their names. But to speak kindly. I'm telling you right now, this culture we live in, all this cancel culture, we have a foul-mouthed society, by the way. We have a society that speaks filthy. You watch enough filth on television, you're going to have the same kind of mindset. You should listen, you shouldn't be condescending to your brethren. You shouldn't be condescending to your spouse. That's right. You shouldn't talk down to your children. Now, you may have to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and you may have to correct them, but there ought to be some kind words, and that's what the Bible says, that he spake kindly unto the damsel. Maybe a note every now and then. I love to see little notes that I write end up being posted somewhere. Mine don't always get posted. But every now and then I'll write a note and one of my kids will keep it and they'll stick it somewhere and they'll keep it. My wife does the same. I do the same with them. And what I'm saying is kind words. Kind words are something that you can increase and abound. And look, it's not going to hurt you, and it doesn't make you less of a man to speak kindly to somebody. It doesn't make you less of a man. Just speak kindly to somebody. It's so funny. You can say some of the meanest things to a dog, but as long as you say it kindly, that dog will wag its tail and just run around you. Right. Right. We're going to open the door, and we're going to let you go and run away, and we're never going to find you again, and it's good riddance to you, and just wagging that tail. Be kind. Speak kind. And hey, look here. That goes for young people. Now, young people learn how to speak from mom and dad, so mom and dad ought to set a good example. But young people should listen, you shouldn't be talking condescendingly to one another. You shouldn't be talking down to one another or about one another or talk like people talk in the world and using derogatory words. You shouldn't make fun of one another. You shouldn't take and criticize. Listen, constructive criticism is good if it's trying to help me down the road, but just to criticize because you don't like somebody, that is not going to increase love anywhere. Talk to people kindly. All right. Well, we're doing good. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Well, we thought we could just sit in the corner and say kumbaya and we just love one another better. No, you got to work at it. If this church is going to be known as a church that loves people, you're going to have to work at that. I think this church is known as a Bible preaching church. I praise the Lord for that. I think this church is known as a missions minded church. I praise the Lord for that. But it can be known as a church that loves, and I think it does. I've had so many people say, you've got friendly people. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, and if you look down there at verse number 2, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now look at that same thing that applies again in verse number 25. Look at it. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. All right, if you're going to increase and abound in love, increase the favor shown to other people, increase your service to other people, increase your kind conversation. And normally I think somebody would say it this way, well, then you need to learn to give to other people, you see, because Christ gave himself for us. And I don't doubt that you should, that giving is not attached to loving, but we're not giving things here. You look and see what it says again in verse 2. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given, can you say the next word for me in verse 2? Himself. Chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave, what's the next word? Given yourself. Given yourself. Giving yourself is very different from giving a $100 bill or giving a cake or a pie or going and helping somebody in their home. Giving yourself is being present when there is a need or making yourself available to somebody else. I hate the word, it doesn't matter how much quantity of time you spend with somebody as long as it's quality time. Well, that's kind of like going to one of these ritzy restaurants. It's not about the quantity of meat you get. It's about the quality of meat you get. So you pay $100 for a piece of meat that's been aged 45 days, that was shipped in from Argentina, and you ought to be happy. No, I want a piece of meat that I can eat. I want ice. I don't want a spoon of ice cream. I want a bowl of ice cream. To make yourself available again, are you listening? Takes time. Again, I'm still overwhelmed by people taking 20 hours to give themselves for our family. It showed me that I need to do more in my own life. I have been to visit many of you 2 o'clock in the morning at a hospital, get up out of bed, come to your home when there's a problem, met you at the church, just like your pastor has done. That's giving yourself. But I don't think that the pastor, are you listening to me? I don't think the pastor should be the only person that does that in a local church. We have a group of ladies that every now and then they beat me to certain places and they get by and they'll go and they'll pray and talk to somebody that's really in, having problems, and I'll come by and they'll say, oh, did you know that Mrs. Aiken and Mrs. Wiseman and so-and-so, they came by and spent a little time with us yesterday. They just gave themselves. We have a widow's apartments. We have 13 units up on the hill. And if you're a member of the church, you can live in those widow's apartments after you're 62, as long as you can take care of yourself, and it's very inexpensive. I think, vision to fulfill what the Bible says, visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. But those ladies up there, you know what they want? They don't care about the ice cream. They don't care about flowers. You know what they want you to do? They want you to come in, sit down, and just talk a little while. It's amazing how many times I have sat with somebody, and they have talked to me, and they spent time speaking to me. And when we finished, I didn't say anything. I didn't give any advice. I didn't really say much, and they said, Pastor, it was so good. I appreciate you spending time today and talk. I feel so much better. It's just been really good to talk to you. And I thought, well, I didn't even say anything. You know, that might work with your children. I'm going to tell you, there's a world out there that wants to spend time with your children. There are people in this world that want to spend time with your children. There are people that will spend time with your spouse, your wife, your husband, if you'll let them. You know, making yourself available, being there and saying, look, I want you to know I value you so much, I'm going to take out of my time. I'm going to break away from what I'm doing, and I'm going to be right here in front of you, and I'm just going to be here with you. That's exactly what Christ gave himself. Boy, that's a big gift. I'll give you one more. And there's about 12 on the page, but how about I just give you one more? John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And you'll have to forgive me. My life is still very marked right now by last week's events with the homegoing of my dad. I think this is the third message I've preached now in 2 weeks, and every time I'm preaching, I'm always running back to that same place, and that's just where I am. So I appreciate you indulging me there for a moment. But John chapter 11, Lazarus is a man that Jesus loved, the Bible says. He's a friend of Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. But if you look what the Bible says, and I know the verse we all like, as a kid we can quote a verse. I know John 11:35. Jesus wept, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. You see that in your Bible? They looked at Jesus' tears and they equated that to love. Now, I think you can cry and love is not within 100 miles. All right. But I think when they saw him standing at this tomb, they knew that that was a friend to Jesus, and he wept. And I've heard so many people preach about why he wept. Look, the Bible says that he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. On the other side of that stone wall there, that tombstone, there was a friend that was decomposing, that had died. There are two sisters that he loved, and I think he just had, he was touched with the feeling of their infirmities. And I'm going to tell you what I really believe. I believe if you'll make yourself available and have compassion, if you'll increase your compassion, your connection to what other people are going through. I'm going to say this to you. You should never come into church and see somebody wiping their eyes and tears and not go over and find out what's going on. You ought to go over and just say, hey, can I pray with you? I think you ought to do that in public. You do that in public, you get an opportunity, you get to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. People are broken. People have all kind of hurt, all kind of problems. And the fact, aren't you glad that we do have a Savior that was touched with the feeling of our infirmities? That he understands what we've gone through and that he cares enough to notice that? He takes the time to notice that? I believe that works in a family. I think a mom and dad ought to notice when their children are struggling and be able to enter into that. I think it's the same thing with a husband and a wife. When one is struggling, to be able to notice that and to be able to speak to that and to stop and sit where they are, to think about it from their perspective, to try to take and put yourself where they are. And if you'll do that, you don't have to have magic words. Jesus just wept. He didn't say a thing, did he? Here he just wept and they said, my, how he loved him. Now, I believe you can put these things into practice. And you can love one another better. You can increase and abound in love. That goes for your parents, children, spouse, people in the church. I didn't even get to the part about all men. You know what I think? I believe there's a lot of people that have been won here and preaching on hell, but I think there's a lot of people been won to Jesus Christ because somebody loved them and cared about them. Increasing and abound. So, increase my prayer life? Absolutely. Increase my church attendance? Absolutely. My missions given? Absolutely. My witness? Absolutely. But increasing and abounding in love. And I believe, listen, if you've got that in your home and you got that in your church, you got something special.